and you're listening to KBOO Portland, real radio for real people at 90.7 FM, KBOO.FM on the web. A little bit of weather to get things rolling. Today, early on, cloudy, and then it's supposed to clear up, highs around 74. Tonight, increasing clouds, lows around 58. Is there something sort of Groundhog's Day about this to you? There is to me. And again, northwest winds 5 to 10 for tomorrow, mostly cloudy. And the temperatures barely managing to claw their way up to 74. Calm winds. See what happened? Clawing its way up to 74, knocked everything out of the wind. So it didn't make much of a showing. For Saturday night, mostly cloudy, lows around 60, northwest winds 5 to 7. Sunday, overcast skies, highs around 76. And Sunday night, finally, after all of this rigmarole to get things started, the weather has managed to cough up a few raindrops. So we will be a little bit moist Sunday night, with a low around 60, and that brings us full circle through the weekend to Monday morning. And that's about it. So we have a couple of guests today. These are last-minute guests that I do hope we will be able to reach. It hasn't been easy. We hope to be able to speak with Jean Bouquemont in France. He is the author of Humanitarian Imperialism, Using Human Rights to Sell War. Using Human Rights to Sell War. That really nails it. He's also a mathematical and statistical physicist at the University of Louvain and the co-author of, wait for it, Fashionable Nonsense, Postmodern Intellectuals' Abuse of Science. I like this person very much. It's just why we're going to kick out all the stops to get him on the show. It's 7 p.m. in France where he is, and he says, at this moment, we do not know what the motivations of the truck driver were, and you all know what we're talking about, right? The 80-something number of people who were literally mowed down yesterday, so as they were celebrating their own very own Independence Day. Figure that. Bastille Day. Then this is definitely knocked the world sideways. We'll see what the fallout from it is. This could be an instance where the fallout is a precognitive event that's already happened. But that's something that only a mathematical and statistical physicist could address. We also hope to be speaking with Matt Zohm. He's a Cleveland City councilman. And he's going to join us to talk a bit about Cleveland bracing itself for the Republican convention. There will be rowdies on both sides, in all probability, at the event. And Councilman Zohm is going to talk with us a little bit about that. Well, some breaking news. Obama his desperate push for the Trans-Pacific Partnership has failed a crucial vote in the Senate. And on that note, as we wait for one or other of our guests and see what is going on the other side of the big waters from where we are, we've got a couple of things to talk about. On Monday, July 11th, the Bill of Rights Defense Committee, their Department on Defending Dissent Foundation, joined a roundtable of civil society groups to discuss police tactics and freedom of a peaceful assembly and association. It was convened by the United Nations. This special rapporteur, Maina Kiai. The convening was a part of a mission to the U.S. by Kiai to assess the state of peaceful assembly and free association. They're going to come back with some bad news, I'm afraid. The United States is not exactly punching above its weight when it comes to peaceful assembly and free association. In France, yesterday, though, was free association, peaceful assembly, disrupted by utter and complete madness. Bonsoir. I'm sorry to be speaking with you on such a terribly sad, sad day. Good morning. Jean Rigmont joins us.
Hello.
Yes. Hello. We said...
Hello.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I hear you. Do you hear me?
Yes, very well, thank you. Well, we want to first send our collective condolences to you, your fellow countrymen and women, on a very sad day, something that would be in the world, again, a probability and statistics, a roll of the dice that would have been very difficult to predict. Predictions are always tricky business, but no way of knowing. Do you think that anybody in France had any idea that something of this sort would happen?
Look, I don't know. I'm not in the police department, but one should notice that it's not clear what the motives of the truck driver were. I mean, it's not known, he was not known to be particularly Muslim or particularly devout, or he looked like somebody unstable. Of course, not everybody who's unstable commits such a sort of suicide, but, there was a pilot a German pilot who took his plane into a mountain and killed 150 people. I mean, there are people who can be totally crazy, and for the moment, we don't know if this is the act of somebody related to ISIS or to terrorism, or if somebody totally crazy. We don't know. I mean, at least from what I see in the news, we don't know. So I wouldn't draw many conclusions. I made some remark to Sami Saini about terrorism in general, which has been hitting against in Baghdad, and you see the scourge of terrorism has been manipulated by the West for its own interest, and that's a major crime. And as I say, terrorism is not the same thing as resistance or armed struggle against oppression and so on, because these terrorists attack totally innocent civilians. I mean, like they did in Paris in the Bataclan in November, that's when it was a terrorist attack, and there is no question about that. Or in Brussels.
Yeah, it seems that this is so random, so unpredictable, that it's mad. It's really madness, and it's nothing to do with any particular belief system or agenda. You've written that our policies are a veritable series of absurdities. We invent enemies like Putin and Assad, who have done nothing to us, and we help our real enemies, like the Islamic terrorists. Could you elaborate on this a little bit? Because this is indeed troubling. May not know the motives of this madman, but we can certainly understand the motives behind.
Well, you see the U.S. has been fueling terrorism in different ways. First of all, indirectly, by invading Iraq, they have created Daesh and so on, and by their policy of supporting one sect against the others. They first supported the Shiites, and then they supported the Sunnis, etc. And so this has aggravated the tension between the two. And of course, there is also Saudi Arabia, Turkey, Qatar, and so on. Then they also supported the so-called rebels in Syria that were actually Islamists, and then they transfer arms from them to Islamists in Syria. They gave weapons to people in Syria. Many people went to fight in Syria from Western Europe, then they came back. Some became linked to terrorism. I mean, all this policy is absurd because now NATO is putting troops along the Russian border. So what does Russia do? Is there any chance? I mean, during the whole Cold War, the Soviet Union did not invade Western Europe. Is there any chance that Russia is going to invade Poland or the Baltic states, etc.? I mean, there is no sense of that. They have not invaded Ukraine, by the way. They have not really invaded even Eastern Ukraine, which is in rebellion against the central government. there's been a referendum in Crimea that has attached Crimea to Russia, but that's a separate question. And they were not invaded by Russians and they were not forced to vote by Russians. So the whole NATO propaganda against Russia is totally made of thin air. And as far as Syria is concerned, I'm sorry, there is a conflict there. And Assad has never done anything to us. And of course, he's fighting the insurrection. But the insurrection is composed of people who are Al-Qaeda type, who are willing to attack us. I mean, you see, the U.S. policy in Afghanistan has given rise to the Taliban indirectly. They have supported them against the Russians, against the so-called communist government, which in actual fact was not very communist. It was mostly modernizing and secular. And they've done that over and over again. But you see, we have to distinguish our friends from our enemies. If we have to have a real politic, then we have to make that distinction. I mean, to say that the other... We are supporting the good guys. I don't know who the good guys are. I don't know why the Taliban and Al-Qaeda and so on are the good guys. And so maybe there are no good guys, but then at least we must distinguish our friends from our enemies. And Russia only, it's obvious from everything they say, everything they try to do, is they want to cooperate with us, with the U.S. They have said that repeatedly, and they have offered to cooperate. And Syria, for example, by the way,
Assad would talk. Yes. Yes.
By the way, Syria has offered to France to cooperate, giving them names of potential terrorists in France, and France has refused to cooperate with them. Yeah. That's very dangerous.
Every one of these moves that you've spoken about, there, it is dangerous. It's very dangerous. I mean, in the past, people have put forth really mad, insane ideas, but not acted on them. Now it seems that the West is rushing to take very dangerous actions based on thin air. How do we go about stopping this? Is something that we don't have the luxury any longer of just sitting back and allowing this to happen? How does one put a stop to it?
Well, the problem is that, you see, we have had a so-called moral policy, which I think wasn't moral at all, but we have had for many years a supposedly human rights-based policy, etc., which has led us to actually, you know, create enemies which are not enemies and then support enemies because they are supposed to be enemies of our enemies, you know, people like terrorists and so on. And I think this was the problem is this, is that in general the left and the liberals have been supporting that, and the people who have been against that, I'm afraid to say, are usually the conservative. For example, Boris Johnson, who's the new foreign minister in England, has been totally opposed to that policy. And so is Trump. So now we are in a situation where you have people on the one hand are not sympathetic at all, like Johnson or Trump, but who do things, say things at least sometimes that make sense in foreign policy. They want peace with Russia, they want to